Our Bible reading this morning is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 7, if you'd like to follow along. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles.
Thanks, Deb, and it's good to open up the Word of God this morning. I'm so pleased that you're here. Allow me to add my welcome to Brods as well as we come under the Word of God. What I'd love to do is just to give a bit of an outline and an account over what's happening in the next 6 weeks in the life of our church. We're about to commence a 6 weeks equipping and discipleship series. Today, as you would have be well aware, we launch into 2 weeks called Finding Your Voice, helping to better equip us to share God's gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, followed by a Stories of Faith Sunday, where I'm looking forward to opening up the Word of God and preaching the gospel. We have a couple of baptisms on the 7th of August. How good's that? And we'd love to have some other people share some fresh testimonies of answered prayer. So if you'd love to invite someone along, a next door neighbor, a family member, a work colleague, to come along to hear the gospel preached and testimonies of the power of the gospel, please invite along on the 7th of August. That will then lead us into a series, Take Up Your Cross, The Life of Discipleship, over 3 weeks. So it's our heart's desire that over the next 6 weeks, the Holy Spirit will continue to embolden us to be radical disciples of Jesus Christ, that we'd be better equipped and not ashamed at all to share the good news of Jesus Christ that we're called to embrace and live out. I'd love to pray as we launch into the next 6 weeks in the life of this local church. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we praise you. We praise you, Father, that you raised your Son, Jesus Christ, back to life. And we praise you, Jesus, that you said you wouldn't leave us orphaned, but that you would come to us, Jesus, and you've breathed out your Spirit, who is here today. Holy Spirit, we praise you and thank you for the forgiveness that flows, for the love in our hearts, and the desire welling up within us to share Jesus Christ wherever we go. Lord, we admit that so often fear holds us back. But God, I pray today that you would break the chains of fear and that Holy Spirit, you would embolden us again to find our gospel voice. So come, Holy Spirit, ignite our desire to share you, Jesus, wherever we would go. Speak through me today, Lord. Help me to get out of the way so that your word can bring conviction, can train, can equip, can spur us on towards love and good deeds. Come, Lord Jesus, come to us. In your name, Jesus. Amen. August 1998, almost 20 years ago, and I was almost 20 at the time. I was in my bedroom. It was after soccer training. My soul was very sore, and I was there on the end of my bed with my head in my hands, sobbing. This was a marker in time almost 20 years ago where many prayers were about to be answered. It was a moment in time where I cried out, God, I need you. For 8 years, I've been running from God, and I was empty. I was longing for love, and I couldn't find fulfillment anywhere. I had grave fears about the future, and I couldn't find rest. My soul was restless, and I was spiritually thirsty. And almost 20 years ago, there in Dobell Road, Ingadine, with my head in my hands, sobbing, I cried out, God, I need you. I need you. I want you. I want to follow you, Jesus. Forgive me. In those moments, I can only describe it as I felt like a rush come into my soul. It was like a fire started to burn within me that very moment in tears. A fire, a burning, a desire where I just wanted to break out and tell people about Jesus. A fire came within me, a deep zeal to want to love other people, with almost instantly a newfound love that I was longing for. I can't believe it. Next month, it'll be 20 years. 20 years. I can honestly testify today that that fire is raging brighter and stronger than it did 20 years ago. And it's not my doing. It's the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I am not convinced that I am an evangelist, but I am convinced that we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are compelled and we are called to make disciples of all nations, the command of Jesus Christ. And we, as disciples of Jesus, are compelled and called to be Christ's witnesses, as Jesus himself commanded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We are compelled by Christ's love. That Jesus would live a life that we can't, a life of perfection. That he would die a death that we haven't in our place for our sin. That God the Father would raise Jesus Christ back to life. That love. That extravagant love that Paul prays for the church of Ephesus, that they would know how wide and deep the love of God is. Christ's love compels us. And Christ's call, it commands us to make disciples of all nations. And to be Christ's witnesses. Sure, some of us will have giftings of evangelism, but all of us are called to be a witness to Jesus Christ. See, time is ebbing away. I have an hourglass here, which is actually closer to a 5-hour glass. And man, we're in sync today, my sermon and this. Just joking. Just joking. Time is ebbing away. We're aging. People are dying without Jesus Christ. God's judgment is coming. Jesus is going to come and judge the living and the dead. And those that are not following Jesus will be sent out of God's presence for all eternity. Time is ebbing away. The Apostle Paul says this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18. For I've often told you before and now say it again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Time is ebbing away. For those who are not disciples of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, even with tears, many live as enemies to the cross of Jesus Christ. There ought to be a grief in our souls today for not yet Christians. And the grief is twofold. Life without Jesus Christ is very, very empty. Those that aren't following Jesus today, life is empty. I mean, Paul said, their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, and earthly things leave us empty. We should be grieved, even with tears, that many are not following Jesus Christ, because life without Jesus is an empty life. Wouldn't you agree? And secondly, we ought to be grieved this morning because the reality of God's judgment is coming. The Apostle Paul says that their destiny is destruction. The author of the Hebrews in Hebrews 9:27 writes, just as man and woman is destined to die once and after that face judgment. Therefore, Paul, even with tears, is grieved that many are not following Jesus Christ. I want to ask us this morning, who are the people in your life that don't follow Jesus? Have you got a face? Have you got some names? Who are the people in your life that don't follow Jesus? Who is it that you are shedding tears over? As time is ebbing away for those that are not disciples of Jesus, who is it today that you would say in your heart, you are shedding tears over because they're hard-hearted towards God? Have you got that face? Have you got that name? Have you got that person? You may not be able to see this, but this is a little bit for later on in our time in the Word this morning, but there are prayer cards that we've taken off the prayer wall of requests for people, loved ones, friends to come to faith. There is 60 prayer tags at the front here that we'd love to pray over a little later on in our service. But if you really push me here this morning, it sure feels like that we, I think Christians in Australia, we have become fearful to talk about Jesus. It feels like we have lost our urgency to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It feels like we live a life as if we don't need to be urgent. Time isn't really ticking away for those that don't know Jesus. When was the last time that you actually shed tears over someone that you know that isn't following Jesus Christ? That's not to guilt us into sharing Jesus. Christ's love compels us. We are called. How is it that we've lost a sense of urgency? This is the question I'm asking this week, and for, I think, a number of weeks, to tell you the truth. What has shifted for Christians in Australia where we have great freedom to share Jesus, and yet we're fearful to do so? How is it that we can have so much freedom in this country to share Jesus, but we are fearful to share the gospel? I believe that there has been two major shifts here in Australia. Two major shifts. The first is this. In mainstream Australia, I believe we have moved from being irrelevant to dangerous. I think this shift has happened before us and we're not even aware of it. We used to be, just as Christians, irrelevant. But now I believe in the marketplace of Australia, we're seen as not just irrelevant now, we're seen as dangerous. And I think the sands have shifted right before our eyes and we don't even see it. Two main reasons, one's very obvious. The first is this. I think the rise of extremists, and how many countless people are losing their life in the name of religion, In mainstream Australia, we're fearful of anyone associated to any idea of religion. And suddenly it's pushed us as Christians from being irrelevant to now dangerous. And the second shift, I believe, is this. That we as Christians, we are badgered into silence. Because it seems like if we rise up to talk about Jesus, even to our siblings or families or friends or next door neighbors, as soon as we rise up to want to talk about Jesus, it's like mainstream Australia is badgering us into silence. Because the moment we want to bring the truth of the gospel, we're labeled as judgmental. We're seen as dangerous and we're badgered into silence. Therefore, we have great freedom in Australia, but it seems that as Christians, we're fearful to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I believe that it's time to find our gospel voice again. We can't let mainstream Australia muzzle our gospel voice. We can't be badgered into silence because time is ebbing away and life without Jesus is empty and God's judgment is a reality. Therefore, Christ's love compels us. Jesus Christ commands us. And it's time that we as a church, and I'd love to think that maybe God would be calling us to play a role in the Church of Australia, to stand up and find our gospel voice again. We cannot be badgered into silence. We are not irrelevant and we're not dangerous. We bring the love of Jesus Christ and the hope of eternity. I'm seriously asking this morning, will you stand with me? Would you stand alongside me? Can we find our gospel voice again? So how can we do it, church? You know, we may not argue people into the kingdom of God. We may not have all the answers. We may not argue people into the kingdom of God, but we can be confident Christians in Christ. We can be confident Christians in Christ in the marketplace where the light of the gospel needs to shine. So how can we be confident Christians in Christ? How can we find our gospel voice again? I want to encourage us towards proximity, prayer, and personal testimony just as some first steps of recapturing our gospel voice again. Proximity. I'm talking about the power of presence, being relationally connected with a not yet Christian so that we can be the aroma of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, "For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing." For those that aren't following Jesus, the Bible says they are perishing. The Apostle Paul says that we are the aroma of Jesus Christ to each other and to those that are not disciples of Jesus. It's a funny thing, the idea of an aroma. It can be really pleasing. It can be really off-putting. I love when I get to come home Friday afternoon, and I'm tired. It was a long week. It was a great week with Testify. I was pretty tired, I must admit, Friday evening. And I loved coming into our front door, and Shell had put some slow-cooked meat on, and you know that whole house was smelling because 10 o'clock it went on. And how good when you're tired and you're hungry and you open the door and you're just whacked in the face with a really pleasing aroma. Made me very excited for dinner. Or an aroma can be really off-putting. 2 weeks ago, I was in the school holidays. Obviously, I had the boys. It was a Thursday, my day off. Shell was at work. And I just started to do a little bit of maintenance in our front yard, kind of blowing down some leaves. And I was just about to do a little bit of alone time in the front garden while the boys tore the house apart inside. And in my alone time, my silence was broken by a young man and a young woman representing a very, famous zoo in Sydney, and they came with a card, and this gentleman was very, very forceful in trying to sign me up to sponsor a wallaby. And I couldn't get a word in edgewise, really. I was trying to say no thanks, but he wouldn't let me get a word in edgewise, and seriously, he was really forceful. He was borderline rude almost. And when I did get a word in edgewise and I said, look, I appreciate that you're passionate about animals. I think it's a very good cause, but just not interested right now. Wow, then came the next marketing spiel about a Tasmanian devil. And what was really ironic is I'm looking at you thinking, wow, you feel like a Tasmanian devil right now. I literally couldn't say no to this guy. I couldn't get a word in edgewise, and I've never done this in all my life. I actually just literally walked away mid-sentence. I said, I'm sorry, mate, and I walked away down our pathway away from him, and he goes, oh, well, I'll come back at 5:30 then. I sort of looked at him and said, no, you won't, and he walked off. I was just like, whoa, that was really jarring. We've all had those moments, haven't we, where somebody has forcefully tried to get us to sign up. That's not the gospel aroma that we're looking for when it comes to communicating Jesus. You see, the power of presence can be a pleasing aroma. You know, sometimes God will give us people across our path that we could love and serve and share Jesus, and we don't really know them. But I believe that walking with a not yet Christian gives us countless opportunities to be the aroma of Jesus Christ versus a door-to-door salesman not allowing somebody to get a word in edgewise. Sometimes we'll meet somebody that we don't know and God will give us an opportunity to share the gospel. That's great. I always remember I had a flat battery coming back from one of our Cambodia trips and got the NRMA guy to come out, and we were just making some small talk. And he basically said to me, what do you do? And so I kind of said, I'm a pastor in a local church, and that always opens up conversation. But it was more about just reflecting what we did in Cambodia with the Lighthouse kids. And that just led to more and more conversation about the gospel. It was a very natural, obvious conversation to be had. And I wasn't expecting that. I certainly didn't go after it. God will bring opportunities across our path to share Jesus. That's cool. But I believe that when we actually walk with a not yet Christian, God will give us countless opportunities to be the aroma of Christ with that person. You see, it's about proximity, is about eyes for others. It's about a relational connection with people. I want to encourage us as a first step to take your hobbies, take your interests, take your passions out to the community and practice them there. You know, the spheres of influence that God has allowed me to be a part of is I connect with a guy through mountain biking. Now, it's kind of really hard when you're kind of like holding on for dear life, hurtling down a hill off rock drop-offs, and then we're on fire trails, and he's a pretty good rider, so I'm out of breath. It's a really big call to share the gospel when you're out of breath or you're holding on for dear life, but praise God for cafes. And yes, I'm an unashamed mammal right now, a middle-aged man in Lycra. But hey, that's all right. Sitting down there at the cafe with a good friend that I'm connecting with gives an opportunity to be the aroma of Jesus Christ. But also, I really love to connect with our next-door neighbours, Tim and Jackie. They've got these really cute little twins. They're twin boys. They're just a year younger than Micah. Yesterday they played superheroes and they all came back over and they were fighting Caleb and Micah in the backyard. But there have been countless opportunities that God's blessed me with Tim, just the next door neighbor. I've introduced Tim to Broad. I think Luke Zoden's met him, Mark Lindsay's met him. We had some functions in it, ANZ through football, and just opportunities to take out the garbage together and share Jesus, or just to connect and share Jesus. Or a sphere of influence that I feel really blessed with at the moment is through Zach's sporting teams. Parents through sporting teams are great spheres of connection. Most recently, I had the privilege of hosting a funeral for Zach's cricket coach, wife, Jo, who passed away in her mid to late 40s from ovarian cancer. You know, that Monday afternoon when I found myself at Paul's house in his kind of upper room there, and there was a pool table, and spread out on the pool table these beautiful photos that captured Jo's life. Sitting on the lounge, we cried together. It was a beautiful moment. All I did is just want to listen and love. To be the aroma of Christ in that moment, I felt honored. And I want to encourage you to take your hobbies, take your passions, take your interests, and connect with not yet Christians through them. Whether it's through sport, whether it's through a next door neighbor, whatever hobby interest you may have, I believe there will be some group in community that you can connect with and begin to form a relationship to be the aroma of Christ in. We find our gospel voice, I think, through proximity, the power of presence, where we can listen and love, but we can also through prayer. Our theme this year, as we know, is a time to pray. And I think currently at CBC, we're experiencing the profound truth that when we pray, it brings heaven into the ordinary. Be encouraged that as we confess our sin, the door to heaven opens up. And when we pick up the prayer phone, the reception is always 100% reliable wherever you are in the world. And I want to encourage us that as we connect with not yet Christians, with the aroma of Christ, as we listen, as we love, can I encourage you to be bold enough to pray and ask someone to pray? I want to take you back to that scene with Zach's cricket coach, and there we were crying together. So I was listening, we're preparing for the service, just to be able to say, can I pray? Can I pray for you right now? You know, every time that I think over the last 20 years of longing to share Jesus and passionate about sharing Jesus in spheres of connection, when I've asked to pray with someone, I've never been knocked back. This is quite a few years ago now when I used to be able to surf and had the time to do it, but connecting with a good friend of mine whose mum was very ill with breast cancer, and we had a surf together, and we're down at Thoreau, and we got some morning tea after that. And just, I think we were just having a bacon egg roll, and there we were. We had a surf together, and he started to share about his mum. And I just said to my friend, can I just pray for your mum? And he says, what, you'll pray for her tomorrow at church? I said, no, how about we pray for her right now? It's because the God that I follow, we can talk to him at any time, and he listens. And there we were at a cafe in Thoreau with a friend who doesn't follow Jesus. Just, I was praying for his mum. He had tears after that prayer. He shook my hand and said thank you. I don't think I've ever been knocked back when I've asked somebody, can I pray for you? Australia still values prayer. And we can use that to be the aroma of Christ. I want to encourage you, whether it's with a work colleague, family member, next door neighbor, a friend, as we are listening, as we're loving, as we're building relationships, take an opportunity to say, can I pray for you? And pray for that person with them. Right there. Finally, personal testimony. I really feel strongly about this. Let's make a stand today, CBC. Let's honestly make a stand. We must not be badgered into silence, and we must resist people's fears paralyzing us from being silent. We are not dangerous. We are not irrelevant. But we have the love of Jesus Christ. And this is a powerful verse, I think, for us today, 1 Peter chapter 3. And this is a powerful word, Peter speaking to the early Christians that were being persecuted. Peter said, "Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened." Is this not a prophetic word into Australia today? As the sands shift from being irrelevant to dangerous, I believe this is a prophetic word into Australia today. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. In other words, don't do it as a door-to-door salesman. Give a reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. We are to herald the hope of Jesus Christ. The Bible passage that was read out to us this morning from 1 Timothy, it actually reflects God's heart, that God desires that all people would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, because there is one God and one mediator, Jesus Christ, who gave himself up as a ransom for us. And Paul says, "For this purpose, I was appointed a herald." And a herald is somebody who makes a public declaration or proclamation. And I want to encourage us this morning that we can be a herald of hope again. To not be afraid of mainstream Australia. We will not be badgered into silence. The Bible says, do not be frightened, but set apart Christ as Lord and always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that we have. And a good starting point is our personal testimony, our personal story of Jesus Christ, who we believe Jesus is and the difference he's making in our life. That is a starting point in giving the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Can I encourage you this morning to ask a person that you're connecting with, being the aroma of Christ, listening, loving, praying for, to actually ask permission. Ask, can I share with you why I follow Jesus? Just lock that little question away in your mind. Wherever God is putting you and who he is situating you with, just ask, can I share with you why I follow Jesus? And put some proclamation to the reason why we love the way we do. Because Christ loves us. And life without Jesus is empty. And Jesus is coming to judge the living and the dead. And time is ebbing away. Next week, we've got Millard that's going to continue to encourage us with how to share the gospel. And I want to encourage you to make that diary note. The 3rd of August, Millard and myself will be doing some midweek equipping us in how to continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ. I'd love to see you here in the auditorium for some further equipping. In our bookshop today, we have this book. It's a real golden oldie. It's a revised, I think it's a great edition, Know and Tell the Gospel by John Chapman. I think we've only got a few copies left, but Pat will, I'm sure, get a few more copies in if you just put your name down, Know and Tell the Gospel. But it's time to find our gospel voice again. As time is ebbing away, Christ's love, it compels us to connect with a not yet Christian. Christ's love compels us to listen, to love well. Christ's love compels us and calls us to pray for and pray with those that aren't following Jesus yet. Christ's love calls us, it compels us to share the reason for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and to not be afraid. We're going to close our service with some time of worship, but also with some time of prayer. We're going to sing this special song, Mighty to Save. Everyone needs compassion, the kindness of our Savior. God is mighty to save. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I think it was one of the first verses I learned about 20 years ago. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I'd love for us to spend some time interceding and praying for those within our church that were bold enough to put a person in their life that they would love to see come to know Jesus. I'd love for some within our church, if you'd love to come and during this song, just to grab one of these cards, don't take them home, just stand around the front, hold one of these cards and just intercede and pray that the person that you're holding would come to know Jesus Christ. If there's someone in your life that you would desperately love to come to know Jesus Christ and you shed tears over them, maybe not physical tears, but you have an urgency for them to come know Jesus, why don't you just come around the cross? You can kneel if you can, or just stand around the cross and just pray for that person to come to know Jesus Christ. Well, there is plenty of scope to write a prayer request for a prodigal to come home to Jesus Christ and write it up and tie it on the wall there. I'd love for us to stand, but it's not just standing because that's what we do to sing songs. I'm just wondering whether today we actually stand and in our hearts we're standing before God to say, we want to find our gospel voice again, Lord. So I'd love it if you'd love to find that gospel voice and allow the Spirit to embolden you. I just would love to encourage you to sort of stand as I pray. And I'd love if someone would just, if a few people would come forward and willing to just pray. I'd love to think that before we sing, we've just got a few people that are willing to come up and grab one of these cards. So can I please invite you to stand? And we're standing because we do desire to find our gospel voice. Can I please just invite some people to come forward? If you just feel prompted to come forward, there is 60 people up here represented in these cards that don't know Jesus yet. And there are people in our church that are shedding tears for these people to come to know Jesus. Please come forward, grab a card. We would love those cards back because we want to tie them back up. There's someone in your life that you're desperate to know Jesus Christ. Come around the cross and just plead that the Spirit would move in their hearts. I feel very moved in this moment right now. I feel really moved that something is stirring for the Church of Australia here. It's got to start somewhere. Why wouldn't it start with us? I believe that God is calling the Church of Australia to stand up and find our voice again for the good news of Jesus Christ, to herald the hope. Let me pray. Oh, Father God, we are your children, your sons, your daughters. Thank you, Jesus, that your body was broken and your blood was shed, that you lived a life that we can't. I praise you, Lord, that we are forgiven, set free. We praise you for the joy of our salvation. Thank you that there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, Father, we want to join with the Apostle Paul in shedding tears for those that live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their glory is in their shame. God, we know that you can rescue us from the pit of our shame and set us back up on the rock of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, stir within us. Holy Spirit, embolden us to be the aroma of Jesus Christ. Help us to love people into the kingdom. Give us the courage to pray with people that are desperate for help and hope. Father, help us to herald the hope of Jesus Christ. Help us to proclaim and not be afraid. Keep us from fear. Lord, we're not dangerous. And sometimes we feel that we're badgered into silence, but God, rise up within us our gospel voice to share the good news of your Son before it's too late. Bring an urgency upon us, Lord, to go from here and to share Jesus Christ with all that we meet. Help us, Lord, to be confident Christians, not fearful or ashamed, but confident. Embolden us, Spirit. We need your help. We can't do it without you, God. You are mighty to save. Let's continue to pray and worship God.